from executive producer Jimmy Kimmel.
What's up, team? Just two people can't launch a brand. It takes a village.
We are MMD Hollywood.
Wowee.
Which stands for medical marijuana.
Due to restrictions, we can't tell you everything about our new reality series. But what we can say is the idea behind it is fully baked.
I don't know.
High Hopes. Streaming on Hulu.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. Ian Rappaport.
Here's what we know right now.
Insider for the NFL Network.
Get out your notebook. There's more.
Breaking news across the National Football League.
This is something that has been going on through the wee hours of last night. Really round-the-clock discussions.
The Rap Sheet and Friends podcast.
I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Ian Rappaport with Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
Here's Ian Rappaport on Twitter at Rapsheet, NFL.com, NFL Network, the Rap Sheet and Friends podcast, the latest edition featuring Dwayne Haskins, ooh, Josh Jacobs, and Debo Samuel. And Ian joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford, 500 new and used vehicles to choose from. So it's schedule release time. What of all of this is meaningful to you?
Let's see. Now, I'm a very selfish person when it comes to my schedule. Mm-hmm. I like to know what I'm doing. So for me, the first thing is, what are the NFL Network games? Now, I mean, we knew, you know, we knew the opener, so, which is awesome. But we, you know, we knew that obviously, from the owners meeting. So for me, it's like, what games are on NFL Network? How is our schedule? And it's looking really good. And then how many games are actually on Sunday instead of game day morning? And this year, for the first time, NFL Network has 2 9:30 start Sunday morning games, which means two days without game day morning, which means I don't have to travel into the city on two Sundays. So that's
okay.
Nice.
That makes a lot of sense to me. That's how a reporter should look at something like this.
Because otherwise, like, you know, it's all this stuff we knew. I mean, I'm also like, there will be some weeks where I won't even look at who's playing who until like Thursday, just because news takes me in a different direction. So, but yeah, schedule release was something.
Well, it's no secret that the Bears have been pushed into primetime. They have the full allotment of primetime games, plus the game in London, plus the game on Thanksgiving, and then they open the season, of course. I mean, there's no coincidence here. They're big TV.
Yeah. I mean, you know, no bigger spot than the opener, right? I mean, and I kind of think that this is where the Bears should be, which, you know, not everything is equitable, right? Like, there are teams that don't have a primetime game. I believe the Bills don't. You know, it's not like the Titans or the Jaguars or the Bucks are going to be, like, in five primetime games. It's just not like that. You know, Mahomes is going to be in a lot of spots. Brady, obviously. I mean, that's the kind of thing that the league leans to. It's very transparent when it comes to, like, we're going to put our best brands, our best teams, and our biggest franchises on TV as much as possible. And I think the Bears, I mean, I think they're going to be good. They were good last year. I think they're going to be good for a while. And they have enough stars where it's going to force people to tune in. Like, I think this is what it's going to be like for the Bears for a while now, because I don't think they're going to get any worse. Why would they? So I think this is kind of reality now.
We're also at voluntary workout season, and it always used to be, wink, wink, the understanding that despite the fact that the union has negotiated all of these rules to make things technically voluntary, it doesn't mean the coaches don't have different expectations, the coaches don't hold it against players, and I don't know how well some of that stuff is policed, but do we still have that overridingly at some of these training camps where a coach says, yeah, I know it's voluntary, but I expect your dumb ass to be here?
No. I kind of think it's changed a little bit. I was talking about this actually on the podcast, which dropped yesterday, by the way. So I think it's different now, and partially because maybe we've gotten smarter as like a football fan base, or maybe, I don't know, maybe it's just more common. Like, when guys skip voluntary workouts, I don't think anybody cares as much. You know, like, guys will sort of let coaches know, like, hey, I'm not showing up till I get a new contract. Coach is like, okay. You know, like, it's just, it's different from the way it was. Hearing someone like Tom Coughlin, as he just did, say, you know, I believe every player should be here, you don't hear that a lot. You hear it from someone as old school as him, but for most of the guys I talk to, they're sort of like, yeah, I mean, whatever. Like, and look, Aaron Donald didn't show up for training camp at all and was one of the best players in the NFL. By the way, neither did Khalil Mack, and I think he was okay. He was pretty good.
Yeah, not bad.
5 days of camp.
I don't think the lack of training camp really hurt him too bad, right? So I think it's all guys are in such good shape now. I just think it's different from the way it ever was.
Talking football with Ian Rappaport at Rapsheet on Twitter. He's of NFL.com and the NFL Network, of course. We saw in an interview with SITV that Josh Rosen understands that this situation for him kind of, you know, sucks. What are you hearing about a draft day possibility, maybe a trade or Rosen leaving the Cardinals? What's the probability of that happening?
You know, I don't right now, as it sits right now, I do not feel great about that possibility. And I know everyone assumes Kyler Murray is going number one. I am not among those people. I think it's much more open. Now, maybe the Cardinals have decided, but I think they probably have. But I haven't talked to anyone who actually knows the decision or will be willing to share it. And so while Josh Rosen is kind of in flux now and frustrated, as he, you know, should be with his situation, if they don't take Kyler Murray, he'll be fine because they could easily say, like, hey, look, we let you twist in the wind, but it was for the betterment of this franchise that you are the face of, so don't worry about it. Like, they can prove, the Cardinals can prove to Josh Rosen that it was all nonsense if they don't take Kyler Murray, and it won't be BS because they'll say, look, like, we didn't take him. The other thing for me is, if Kyler Murray knows he's going number one, what's he doing going on trips to the Giants and the Redskins? And he eventually canceled the Redskins, but he was set to go there. So why? If he knows he's going one, like, what is he doing?
Do we know what was behind his canceling that meeting in Washington?
I think just didn't think he was going to be there and didn't want to waste the time. And I'm not, honestly, like, I'm not sure the Redskins are that high in him anyway, so I think it's probably fine.
The Bears will be playing the Raiders at noon local time on Sunday, October 6th in London, the new stadium of Tottenham Hotspur. Is the way to do this established now? Is there an understood protocol for preparing a team for having the upset circadian rhythms and everything a little bit off? Is the NFL helped sort of standardize the process for everybody so teams don't have a team that's unprepared to play?
I think teams do it differently. It's as, you know, I thought, to me, it makes a lot of sense to come in like Wednesday and just acclimate, and by the time game time comes, like, you're fine. Not everybody does that. Some teams come in like Thursday night or Friday morning, and some teams just try to make it like as, you know, quick as possible and don't worry about it. There's no standard thing. The other thing is, it used to be teams would always get a bye after the London game. That's not the case anymore. Some teams say, you know what, like, our players will sleep on the plane. We're going to use our bye another time. So there's actually no standard way to do it. Now, this is going to be cool. I don't know. Are you guys going over for that?
Well, we hope so. We're lobbying for that, so. Yeah.
I will say this. I hope you guys do, too. You should. It's awesome. And the new stadium is going to be really cool.
What's awesome about it?
It was all, like, renovated, and it was all renovated for football and, you know, sparkling new. What's awesome about the trip?
Yeah.
Oh, the main thing is it's like – so we all – unfortunately take so much of this for granted. It's so cool to see football presented to people who do not always get it, because the enthusiasm is something that I can almost not describe. Like, I was there for, you know, a bunch of years ago for Patriots Bucks, and it was like going to a concert, because there was so much excitement. Like, the energy level is just different. It feels a little more like, say, college football than the NFL, because everyone's so excited that the league is there. And that's something that, you know, for those of us old curmudgeons, like, even that's really cool.
It's funny you bring that up, because I remember reading something years ago that the idea of somebody being exposed to a sport for the first time, sometimes it's the most mundane things that are appreciated, and like you say, in ways that we take for granted. And this was a baseball story, but it was somebody who brought a foreign friend to his first baseball game, never seen the sport before, and was blown away by how they catch fly balls and pop-ups. And it wasn't hitting a 100-mile-an-hour pitch. He kept asking, how do they know where it's going to land? You know, it was just this thing that we take for granted. It just blew his mind.
You know what, I can sort of relate to that. So I had a bunch of some of my friends from high school are big Giants fans, come in to town when the Giants played on Thursday night against the Eagles and lost by a million, when we kind of realized that the Giants season was not going to be good. And they were standing on the sidelines with me before the game, and they couldn't believe how fast it was. Mm-hmm. Like, they were just like, and these are all big football fans who've gone to games and have seasons. They were just blown away how big everyone is and how fast it is. They're like, I just can't, you know, I just can't believe it. And imagine being someone who hasn't seen it before. And I've, you know, I have two small kids and I've taken them to baseball games, not a football game yet, but baseball games. And to see the things that their eyes get opened by is very, very cool.
Ian, before we let you go, I was reading about Nick Bosa a little while ago. I think he's the best player in the draft. I think you ought to go number one overall if you're just drafting on talent alone. He deleted a bunch of his tweets and I think Instagram posts as well. All of them.
Did
very
he finally?
I believe he deleted a whole bunch. I don't know if he deleted all of them. I guess I shouldn't go that far. But he said he did it because he might get drafted by San Francisco. His tweets are very right. conservative. They're very right-leaning. And apparently he's aware of the issue that that might cause. Do you think teams care?
I don't think they don't care. Because none of this exists in a vacuum. I mean, if the Bills cared last year about Josh Allen's tweets from when he was like of rap lyrics when he was 16 or whenever, then I think the 49ers will care about Nick Bosa tweeting about Trump, or I believe one of the ones he deleted was about Kaepernick, actually, not Trump. But, I think they care. I don't think it will be disqualifying. But it's a thing. And, you know, one thing that's so scary about social media, and thank God I wasn't on social media in high school or college, is it all factors into the equation. Like, it's amazing the amount of teams I've heard say, like, yeah, you know, we were looking into this guy, then we took a look at his social media, and we took him off our board, or we ruled him out, or, you know, we did a deep dive. We had to call him back into the facility and ask questions because of some stuff on social media. Like, that all is actually real.
How
and so I don't think it's going to stop Bosa from getting drafted, but it is a thing.
How is it, Ian, that in this day and age, an agent's first job, like as soon as you start talking to an agent, their first job is, regardless of what side you lean to or another, go through the guy's social media. You have your bottom-ranked intern, whoever's just come into the agency, your job is to take Nick Bosa's social profile and just make it all go away. How is that not job one in this day and age?
Right. I think it probably is. So I think any sort of other tweets that are not should not be out there were probably deleted, not just from Bosa, but from anyone. Yeah. Problem is, some of the stuff he's done was like the last couple of weeks.
That's true.
You know, following certain people and liking certain people. And, you know, I haven't read into it as much. I don't follow him on Instagram. No offense. I don't follow a lot of people on Instagram. So, he's a human, and so he does human things.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's like that. But I will tell you what's going to be interesting for me is I have not heard he's the best player in the draft. I mean, he's very good, but most people I talk to think Quinnen Williams is the top overall player in the draft.
Right.
I'm sure Bosa's going too, I guess. But it's going to be interesting if he doesn't, where he ends up going.
We'll be watching, and I know we will be having you on to discuss. Always fun, Ian. Thank you.
Thanks.
Weirdest interview ever. No questions about the first round of the draft. You got Khalil Mack.
Bears pick 87.
Yeah, right. We're all good here. Yeah. Ian Rappaport. Rap sheet at NFL.com and NFL Network.
From executive producer Jimmy Kimmel.
What's up, team? Just two people can't launch a brand. It takes a village.
We are MMD Hollywood.
Wowee.
Which stands for medical marijuana.
Due to restrictions, we can't tell you everything about our new reality series. But what we can say is the idea behind it is fully baked.
I don't know.
High hopes. Streaming on Hulu.